Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Okay. So you sit down to watch the DVD of one of your favorite shows, Columbo. And there's a special on there. And it says, America's Best Sleuths. And you're like, oh, I'm into this. I like sleuths. So you start to watch. And number 10 is Sherlock Holmes. And you're like, oh my God. If number 10 is Sherlock Holmes, I can't imagine how good these are going to get as we go up. Because Sherlock Holmes kind of set the template. Then you get to number 6 and it's Jessica Fletcher. And you're like, wow, they really didn't save the big ones for last. And honestly, this is a Columbo DVD. So Columbo's got to be first. But it's not. Columbo is number 2. They even throw Jerry Orbach in there. He was a cop. Cops are not necessarily sleuths. Especially in a show like Law & Order where they do all their work in the first half. Rockford is also in the top 10. But you will not believe the number one sleuth as rated by Sleuth TV in their TV special in the 90s.
This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we geek out about real love and fake relationships.
I'm Colin.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Patrick.
Sleuth.com.
Sleuth TV?
Yeah, there used to be, there was a channel, it was very brief, where, and I think it was NBC, because they had things like, or Universal, they had things like Homicide, and they had other shows. So none of the Homicide detectives made the top 10 sleuths, but that's okay. I will say, number one is my thing I'm most annoyed about. But number 6 is Jessica Fletcher. And number 5, oh man, number 5 is Quincy M.D.
What? Huh?
No one even remembers Quincy.
No. Also, this is American Sleuths, right? Why is Sherlock Holmes on there?
That was going to be my question.
I don't know. Maybe it's because he has shown up in American television.
Yeah.
I think it was less like when they say America, I don't think they were trying to say American characters. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, they weren't trying to like use the word as what it means.
Right.
No, I think they were meant like on American television.
Right. Okay.
So like there Sherlock, was no like yeah there it was not this is not a global list. There really weren't any British shows. It was like American television, which again,
gotcha.
90s had problems, but the number one problem was the number one sleuth.
Oh yeah, who is this number one sleuth?
Magnum P.I.
What?
Wow. Wow.
What? He's not even really a sleuth.
No, he just gets into shenanigans.
I mean.
And has shoot 'em ups.
Yeah.
Are you about to defend him, Colin? It's okay.
No, I'm not. I'm very disappointed.
It's a lot to take in.
I'm sorry to throw this at you guys. I watched it on double speed because I wasn't really interested in what the talking heads had to say. I just wanted to know what the rankings were.
Uh-huh.
But there's no way to justify Jessica Fletcher below Quincy, MD. No one even remembers Quincy.
I looked up Quincy, and I don't even remember this being a thing.
Now, it was the 70s,
right?
And he was a medical examiner who also got laid a lot. I don't know. I think that after Odd Couple, that actor got to decide what his next thing was. And so he's like, what if I was a medical examiner who got laid a lot? Because it's not, it's not a horrible show, but the rankings are just off. And honestly, how can you on a Columbo DVD put in this special and Columbo's not even number one?
Well,
I know.
And what year did this list get compiled?
Sometime in the 90s, because Law and Order existed.
Yeah.
But, and there were clips from Homicide.
And we didn't... Did Dr. Mark Sloan make the top 10 anywhere in there?
Dr. Mark Sloan from ER?
No, from Diagnosis Murder, as portrayed by Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, my grandparents love that show. Loved it.
No, but he would have fit it. Where would you have ranked him, Colin?
Behind Jessica Fletcher
and
behind Columbo, for sure.
I mean, he'd be eight, right?
Yeah, give him 8 or 9. He would fit so comfortably there.
Well, and honestly, I think that it's weird that you're right. Sherlock Holmes doesn't belong there because they say America. But then also, how can you ignore, even Miss Marple? How can you ignore
the sleuths
that came before? How can you ignore Poirot? And Rockford is in there, and I guess he's sleuthy. He's sleuthier than Magnum, even though they're both private investigators by trade. But I just, yeah. I was thrown. I mean, I get that people like Magnum. He's charming. He wears short shorts. He wears a baseball cap. He's got a British sidekick.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, all positives.
I'm sorry to steer us back to this, but is Mark Sloan also the name of a character on Grey's Anatomy?
Oh, that would be a very fun nod.
Okay, there is a character, Mark something.
I think it's Dr. Mark Sloan.
I think you're right. Dr. Mark
AKA,
Sloan, he's Mr.
McSteamy.
McSteamy.
Yeah.
That's McSteamy's name? That is very fun.
So wait a minute, are they the same character?
Wait, are you guys thinking of McDreamy?
No.
McDreamy is Patrick Dempsey, whose name is Derek Shepherd.
We're talking McSteamy here.
McSteamy.
McSteamy in the... McDreamy, he had a wife. Things were not going that well. He had a best friend who was McSteamy. He comes home one day. His wife and McSteamy are having sex. What? So he leaves. He doesn't even talk to his wife. He moves across the country.
What?
He meets an intern. He starts fucking the intern. And then one day... In the end of the first season, intern and he are going out to dinner, and wife shows up and is like, "Hi, you must be the intern who's been fucking my husband." Season
Stop.
Ending. Cliffhanger. How dare they?
Oh, my God.
And then Steamy shows up and is like, "Hey, wife, I want to be with you. I'm in love with you." And she's like, "I was just using you for sex. Don't make it a whole thing." And that's Dr. Mark Sloan.
Wow.
And I think there was a Dr. Mark Green on ER. That's who I was thinking of earlier. Are you crazy?
So, is it possible that McSteamy grows old and then travels through time and becomes the Dick Van Dyke character in the past?
Yeah, well, or we just look at these shows in a timeless reality where McSteamy is just young Dr. Mark Sloan.
I think
that sounds lovely, except I think we're seeing who quit Grey's Anatomy at a certain point because there was a plane crash. And while Dr. Mark Sloan did survive the plane crash, even though his soulmate died underneath a plane, it was very sad. They had a conversation to say goodbye and I love you.
Oh my goodness.
But he only lived for for another few months in the hospital before he also succumbed to his injuries from the plane crash.
Or so you think, but he was really faking death so he could start a new life as the other
I
one.
I love it.
As the other one.
I do love the idea, though, of the diagnosis murder being set in like 2040, but we don't know it. Like, somehow that hospital has not gotten any updates in 50 years to anything.
High definition cameras are a thing of the past, apparently. Yes. We're back to 4x3.
Yeah, I love it.
It can be set in the future and still made in the past. I don't think we have to believe.
I don't follow the logic.
Guys, please don't fight.
Oh, all right. We're talking fight ships. Fist and ships is what we're calling this episode. Because now, this is maybe a little bit of a A to C kind of connection here. Because we're doing this because the movie The Fight is out today. And The Fight is about the ACLU fighting the Trump administration on on them rolling back our various rights. So it's not really about like a fist fight. Something I did not realize when I was like, yeah, Colin, good.
You know what I found, and I love it, and maybe this is part of our new dystopian reality. Sometimes you can just say things and totally get away with it. A group of people will be like, oh yeah, fist and chips, that makes sense.
Yep.
I mean, fist and chips is perfect. Great. I'm really sad that it took us this far into our show, same-day shipping, to get to Fist and Ships.
I was really proud of the pun.
Have you guys seen the trailer for this ACLU movie? It looks great.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, it does look pretty good. It won Best U.S. Documentary at Sundance, I believe.
Oh.
Really?
It's the kind of shit that makes me, though we're living in like a nightmare hellscape, where I'm like, yes, there are fucking people are doing like the good work, and like, this isn't going to kill all of us. Like, some of us will make it through, and like, things will get maybe a little bit better. I don't know. It made me feel good.
Good.
Yeah, I like knowing people are fighting the good fight.
Yeah. Sometimes it's easy to forget that.
Mm-hmm. You know who else is fighting the good fight?
Who?
Sasha Banks and Bayley of the WWE.
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's my fist and chips of the week. So Sasha Banks is the legit boss, and she's a former SmackDown women's champion. Bayley is the current SmackDown women's champion. And they are, as a team, the holders of the SmackDown, tag team championship.
Mm-hmm.
And they are two best friends. They're, like, across all platforms, so they're, like, really big in SmackDown, obviously. But Sasha Banks is huge in NXT, which is, like, another program that they have in the WWE umbrella. And they've been together for, like, 6 years at this point, so like they've been tag team partners for a while. But I love like everything about how they play their friendship, because Bayley's thing was Hugonomics, where she was like one of the very super positive, like kind of taking on like the John Cena role, like really being inspirational for young girls. And then, like I said, Sasha is the legit boss, so she's like a strong, positive role model. But what happens in the WWE, when you get too successful and you get too powerful, you have to start bending the rules a little.
Long enough to see yourself become a villain.
Exactly. They lived long enough to see themselves become villains. And so they had a great heel turn, and now basically all they do is show up to each other's matches and help the other one cheat. And it's so fun. Like, I was watching NXT this week, and Sasha Banks had a bout, and Bayley was there, of course, ringside. And at one point, Sasha Banks was about to take a superplex off the top rope, but Bayley started honking a car horn in a nearby Dodge Viper long enough to distract them so Sasha could escape. You know, it's all great stuff like that. But I have been seeing
a nearby Dodge Viper.
Yeah, it was a cross promotion.
Yeah, it was just like nearby.
Like when you can't have an audience, it's like, let's park cars around.
Oh, okay, cool, yeah. Cool.
So then we could make some money that way, I think is the
That's
the
smart. Do it all like a drive-in movie.
Yeah, yes. But it was unoccupied. Although
yeah,
that would be...
It would be not... You can't socially distance in a car when somebody's going to come use your horn to save your friend.
You have to dive into the backseat as Bailey reaches her arm through the window. But they've been, in my opinion, coded as lovers so strongly for years. Like, I believe it. In real life, Sasha is married to a man, but, you know, whatever, man. It's the fucking new millennium. Like, that doesn't bother me.
Are
I
there openly gay wrestlers?
Not as part of a storyline.
Okay.
Yeah. So that I want this to be like a huge like queer flag in the WWE as part of the story. Sasha Banks and Bayley come out as life partners and maintain their somewhat mischievous kind of road to defending their title, you know, and just like and, like, upping the drama every time one of them gets attacked by another character. It's like, my love!
Great. Yeah, I love that,
I love that for them.
Colin, I have a question. You used a phrase a couple times, and I want to know if it's, like, an actual part of, like, wrestling lingo. You said the legit boss. Mm-hmm. Is that, like, an official thing, or just, was that just you saying legit boss a couple times?
Oh, no. That's, like, her nickname. It's part of her branding.
Mm.
You know, like Undertaker is the Phenom or Randy Orton's the Apex Predator. And she like puts it on all their merch and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, she wears these really cool legit boss rings that like go across her fingers.
Wait, so does her thumb have a letter?
No. So it's like brass knuckles.
Oh, so it's not one letter per.
Yeah.
Right.
I was thinking like the love and hate.
Uh-huh.
Usually it's four letters. It's not usually five.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. It's just been, we've been really watching a lot of wrestling lately.
It's interesting that like wrestling is a little bit of a blind spot for us on the show. Like, obviously, Colin, you're watching it, but like, it's not really anything that like I get into.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool. Thank you for bringing it up. That makes me happy. I don't really know why, but it does.
Yeah. I mean, it's really fun.
Yeah. And I feel like wrestling is something that like, if we tried it, we would like it mm-hmm. because like, it's very soapy. Mm-hmm. I like all the drama.
Tons of drama.
So it's something that I've been like wanting to get more into.
Yeah, you should. Like really it started, like it's one of those things I watched like through my childhood a little bit, but it mm-hmm. wasn't really allowed in my house. But since we did the lockdown, you know, we got the subscription to the streaming service, and that has like all the old matches and all the new stuff that like comes out every week. So we've been just digging our heels into WWE, and it is so worth the time. Each episode is like 2.5 hours long, so you get a lot.
That just makes it more fun.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Like, we'll never catch up. There's so much history. But, you know, it's fun to watch it, how it's progressing, you know, like, even in the last 10 years with, you know, just how women's wrestling was always kind of treated like a sideshow sort of thing. And now it, like, being the main event and, like, a huge, you know, draw for the brand and the company. Like, I think it's perfect time to get more queer shit in there and, you know, show that side of the WWE. Because like you were sort of saying, like, there's got to be a ton of gay wrestlers that are just like not getting to show that shit off. So
cool, man.
And we want to see it, you know, it's the time has come.
Mogi, you got a fight ship?
I have a few because I like when people fight. I like fighting movies. I think I've talked about Rocky and Adrian before. I love them. I kind of went a couple different directions, but then I said the words good fight out loud, and then I remembered the show The Good Fight and a ship from that show that I really like. So that's what I'm going to talk about, even though I have like so many backup fight ships, but it's okay.
I heard this show is very good.
It is very good.
And insane.
It's insane.
Is that the one with Glenn Close?
No, that's Damages, which is also insane. This is a spinoff of The Good Wife, but which was a Juliana Margulies show about a woman who was married to a politician who had a public like sex scandal and then also crime scandal. And so she stood by, and so she stood by him. She was the good wife, and then she in her 40s went back. She had been a stay-at-home mom, and she goes back to working as a lawyer. But that was the original show, and then The Good Fight is a spinoff of that. So that character's gone. We don't talk about her much.
Okay.
But The Good Fight is all set. I think it starts in 2016, so it's all set in the Trump era, and it's about these like Chicago liberal lawyers, like essentially having mental breakdowns at different rates.
Relatable.
They especially, yes, and like the main character is Christine Baranski, who is very much like, I think she was, it was like written in that she was friends with Hillary Clinton in the original show, and so like now this is very much like she's an elite liberal who is moneyed, has like, and is very has all of those things, but like can't believe what's happening. She's like, this isn't supposed to happen. Like, yes, I compromise myself morally all the time, but like I'm still supposed to be able to like understand and manipulate the system. And now the system is so fucked up and so wild. And now she's like, should I become a social justice warrior? I don't know. And she does a little bit, and and it gets crazy. Like at some points there's like a secret. They're like kind of part of a terrorist organization. It's wild. But the characters I want to talk about are Luca and Colin. Luca is an associate at the firm that's the center of the show. And because they're a law firm, part of it is like, it's called The Good Fight. And in theory, they're all fighting for what's right. But in reality, they have clients. So they often have to, you know, defend criminals. Yeah, it's just how it happens. You can't only take on innocent people. But she's like, she's played by Kush Jumbo, and this is the first time I had ever seen Kush Jumbo in anything. She's British, but she plays American in this. But like, she is just one of those actors who's so charismatic and interesting, even like no matter what she's doing, you're like, you're having a whole secret life inside, aren't you? Like, something is exciting. It's so, like, yeah, like she is. You're like, I can we just watch a show about you, whatever you're thinking about? That seems very interesting. And that's Luca. And she is kind of like the moral center of the show. And then Colin Morello is a lawyer who works for the U.S. Attorney's Office. And so at first, like, they will have these flirts, but they're usually on opposing sides. And then they start like flirting more, and he's like more obvious in his flirting, where he's like, yeah, no, I'm very interested in you. And she's like, interesting. And then she'll like leave, and then they start sleeping together, and she's still playing it like, yeah, whatever. And he's like, no, you don't understand, like I want to be with, like, I'm in love with you, like, let's do this. And she's like, yeah, no, that's interesting, but like I have a lot of work to do, so but it's great.
Wow.
and I think the actress got pregnant, but the character gets pregnant. And he's like, cool, you want to get married? And she's like, whoa, I'll just admit that I like you now. Like, slow your roll. And she's a pretty private person. And then he wants to, and partly because his family and stuff, but he runs for political office. So she has to deal with, like, she's trying to run her career. She's trying to be a mom to a baby. She's trying to do all this stuff. Plus her, you know, I'm calling him baby daddy because they don't always have a formal relationship, but like, she has to deal with the attention that you get when your father of your child is a congressman. So it's very complicated, but it's good stuff. He leaves the show at a certain point, and I don't know. I mean, I get it. You can't stay on a show forever, but I sort of wish it was more like he stayed forever, because their dynamic is just really cute. Because at the end of the day, they really care about each other, whether they want to be married or not, or whether they want to live in the same house. Like, that's to the side, but they do care about each other, and they are both try to be really good parents. So
Why does he leave, or is there like what's the reason for the breakup with baby daddy?
Well, actually, it's kind of a cute breakup. It's so he's moving to DC because you have to be in DC a lot when you're a congressman. And so he's like, you know, the place he gets is for both of them. And she's having her baby, and she has this conversation with her mom, and her mom's like, well, and she's like, how do I know if I want to get married? And her mom's like, well, you know, you think about it. Who, when you come home at the end of the day, you know, are you going to be happy to see that this person is there? Are you, or would you be happier if they were out? Like, are you happy to come home to them? Or are you kind of hoping they're not there so you can be home alone?
Oh, God.
And she's like, wow, that's heavy shit. So she kind of realizes that she does, when she comes home, not want to see them. But she pulls up to her house with the baby, and he's had to go to D.C. And her two best friends, who are her other lawyer friends, are there, and they get out of the car. And she's like, I'm so glad to see you. And she realizes her support system in Chicago, those are the people that she is happy. She wants them to be there versus be alone. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't necessarily feel that way about Colin. So I guess it doesn't end in like the shippiest way, but it is kind of like, it's affirming that she's making the right choices for herself. That is a cute
breakup. I wasn't expecting that to be true.
That is cute.
Yeah, like, I'm happier when you're gone. Isn't that cute?
Yeah. Like, when you said that, I was like, oh, this is sad.
They also shoot it. So, like, the scene you see where she's real, like, we don't have to watch him have to deal with the fact that the mother of his child doesn't really love him. Like, you don't actually have to deal with the painful part. You just see the part where she, like, she sees her two best friends, and she's like, yes, I'm glad you're here. I wouldn't rather be alone than be with you. I'm happy you're here.
Mm-hmm.
That's very sweet.
Well, that's nice.
Sweet.
So that's going to be my fight. But also, shout out, if you've never seen the movie Warrior with Joel Egerton and Tom Hardy, do yourself a favor. It's good.
Is that the martial arts?
It is. It's an MMA movie about brothers who have to fight each other in a big fight.
What's going to happen?
But they
do. They're brothers. They're blood.
They're blood, but they were raised separately, and so they both resent each other.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Are you fucking kidding me?
It's so good, guys. It's so good. And they, like, really fight. Like, it's...
Yeah.
And you know, MMA is,
I don't think that's true.
You fight to the death, pretty much.
What?
Well, you don't like fighting to the death. You fight to disablement.
Funeral,
it's not like boxing.
Funeral.
Yeah, is this getting into like duel territory we're talking about here, where someone's gonna die?
Oh, yeah, and you have to have a second. Yeah, because like if you die, if you fall in battle, like someone else has to like protect your estate. So like,
yeah, it's just like that.
Oh God.
Wow. Okay, we'll check that out.
What's that one
as
called?
Well.
Lots of recos from Ryan today.
Lots of recos.
Warrior.
I always trust your recos though.
That one is a movie called Warrior.
Warrior. And then the image is like two close up, like overlapping images of like brother faces.
Yes. And they're, yeah. And Tom Hardy, like they're both of them. Joel Egerton plays like a family man who's like, you know, having a big last hurrah. But Tom Hardy looks like he full on.
He looks a little beat
up. If you told me he actually fought MMA, I'd be like, yeah, I believe it.
He sounds like he's really hot in it.
It's hot, but it's also like to me, UFC and MMA fight, it's very like, it's not very pretty.
No.
It's brutal.
It's gritty.
Yeah.
Not pretty. It's gritty.
Yeah. It's like, you know, hot in a tough kind of broken down guy who works at a meat packing
plant.
Totally.
Yeah,
and
there is something hot about somebody who goes to work in a meat packing plant, but like while they're packing
you
the
want
meat,
them at
you're
the
like,
end of
all
the
right,
day.
I could, let's like take a shower and then. Let's have an interview.
Yeah, hose off that meat.
Yeah.
No, you want them after they're like, I can't fucking take another day of working in this meat packing plant.
Oh my God,
and they're
Kelly,
all angry.
Woo-hoo.
And yeah, dude. And
that's
like,
what you need.
Oh, where and he like throws splat. Off his meat apron.
But I could see if you like went to a wrestling match, like a WWE thing, and you saw it, you could see some, it would be like somebody would, it's like improv. They're like super hot on stage, and then you'd meet them after, and you'd be like, oh. You're just like a guy. You're just like a poor person. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like a hard life. So you're going to come across a lot of beat face.
Yeah. And it's like not like Hollywood beat face where people are like, and I don't like to mention this man because he's like, mean to his family, but like the Jeremy Renner effect of like, you have a beat face for Hollywood.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like you look like you've been punched
not
in the
like
face
in a
like
bar.
In a stunt.
Right.
But not.
Not like not, real.
Not in a bar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also like he's that type of guy that's been punched in the face in a bar a lot. He's like troubled. It's like very good.
Yes.
Like Jeremy Renner in The Town.
Yeah.
Oh, God, the town.
Yeah.
I hated that movie so much.
Yeah, it doesn't end up well for any of those characters.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Oh, I guess there's like kids go to that park. Isn't that how it ends?
What? I don't remember.
Doesn't the money go to like sponsor a child kids park?
Oh, what happens in that movie is they like do a dance competition and then like the money goes to pay for the community center.
Are you thinking of Step Up to the Town?
I think what might have happened is Kelly went to a double feature of the town and then Step Up to the Town. And like,
I thought
just,
it was the same movie.
Yeah,
just long movie.
And they change accents like halfway through. All of a sudden they're
yeah,
in Philly.
And there's like completely different characters halfway through, but that's okay.
It's like A Place Among the Pines.
Yeah.
It's just like that. Kelly, do you have a fight ship?
Yeah.
Do you want me to go?
I got,
well,
like, really distracted.
You got it. You got
okay.
it.
Okay.
What?
You could do it.
Oh, no, I know what it is. It is Huntress from Birds of Prey.
Love it.
Nice.
Everyone!
She is pretty great.
She's so cool. She's like really hot and like, but also like has that like, you know, deep down,
she's
like kind
such
of unsure of herself,
yes,
kind of thing, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
She's such a dork, but she also could kill you.
She's such a good fighter. Never tell her she's a dork to her face.
No.
Then you're gonna get an arrow through your throat. I honestly could see her in like different. I don't want to say that this is gonna be like a polyamorous relationship with everybody at once. I think it's like different pairings.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think that all of them end well. Like, I think everyone's like the end of it is like, wow, that was like really great, and like we're both better people after this, but like now I'm gonna move on.
And these are all other birds of prey, or you're saying, okay.
Oh, it's not just like anyone across the universe?
Yeah, I couldn't tell because she is great enough if you wanted to ship her with like Tom Hardy from Warrior, I'd be like, yeah, no, I get it.
Oh, crap. Okay. So, sure.
I could see like all of her exes getting together in like a support group.
And that's the thing. It's like not even a support group. It's like a fun memories group.
Mm-hmm.
It's a like, nostalgia group.
Yeah, nostalgia group. And like, because I think honestly, I think the hottest, like, I think her and Black Canary I really like.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also like her and here's the thing. The one where it gets kind of borderline like, okay, you know what? You're like a little too much for me. Is her with Harley, and I think she kind of is like, all right, Harley, like you're more fun as a friend, so I'm just gonna kind of step back.
I don't think she's really enough for Harley.
Right.
I think Harley needs more drama.
Harley needs so much drama.
Right.
Like,
yes.
And maybe it's just because I'm holding out for Poison Ivy to join the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But
like, yeah. I think OTP. Harley needs more drama.
The Harley Quinn animated show is so good. Watch it. But. I still think like I think she has fun with Harley, but you're right, Ryan. Like she's like Harley's like I need like Huntress is exciting, but not like dramatic exciting. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like drama exciting.
Yeah, and you know, at least in the movie, like we see Huntress like not having a sense of humor about being made fun of. Like they keep going back to making fun of her name, and I feel like Harley would lean too hard on that.
Yeah,
and Harley's not like. Cute joking when she points it out, like it's kind of mean how she points it out.
Well, and like Huntress just needs to like have that, like she needs to be able to like have fun and like relax a little bit, but not like the Harley amount, you know.
It's too much fun. No one should be having the Harley amount of fun.
Yeah
That's pretty good.
That's why I feel like she and Black Canary are the best.
She and Black Canary are really good. I think they maybe last the longest. I think maybe she has a fling with Tom Hardy and Warrior,
okay.
But like,
good.
She's like, he's the opposite of Harley, where he's like too like down in the dumps all the time. She's like,
yeah, that's true.
Like, you're so dark, I can't deal
with
this.
Oh, yeah, so serious all the time, and he's like complaining about his fights with his brother, and she's like, my family's dead.
Yeah, I wish I could wrestle my brother, but he's dead.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What about Huntress and Villanelle?
Yeah.
Ooh, so much murder. Yeah. But who's going to betray who?
Oh, here's what I think. I think Huntress starts to get a little too dark when she's with Villanelle. And she, like, I think there's like one time where she's like wiping off the blood on her hands after like killing someone that she's like, okay, I'm just like not sure that that person like super deserved to be killed. And like Villanelle just like didn't like that they ordered the last ice cream that Villanelle wanted. And so she's like washing her hands, yeah, and she's like, oh, I kind of am afraid of the person that I'm becoming being with her.
Oh.
And they kill
But they have
a lot
of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And they have really good sex.
But kill so much.
A lot of people. Yeah, and 90% like, of the people, Huntress is fine with killing them.
Right, like Mafia.
What about just, Huntress and John yeah. Bernthal, okay. Punisher?
Interesting. he's very hot.
He is very
so I like
hot.
That.
Technically, yeah, but...
And I think maybe she... I think she thinks that his, like, rage is a little boring.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, sure. You always hate in other people what you see in yourself.
Rage is a little boring.
Right.
Yeah.
You always hate what you see in John Bernthal, yeah. what you see in yourself. I think between them, like, she would have to be the one to end it, because he's, like, 1 foot in front of the other. I don't think he would break
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I think they get in a big fight, and she, mm-hmm. like, at one point, she, like, screams at him. She's like...
Yeah.
She's like... Honestly, like, all you are is your rage, like, and your, like, revenge. If you take that away, what fucking are you? And he's like, you're saying that to me? Well, and she's like,
yeah, she just,
fuck.
She walks out of the room and they never speak
yeah,
again.
Yeah, I think she learns a lot about herself.
Right.
When yeah. she doesn't want to be.
Right, but I like that they never see each other
yeah,
again.
Yeah, never again.
He does watch out for her sometimes. Like, sometimes yes. she'll be killing people and then all of a sudden an extra person got killed. And she'll yeah. be like, wait,
Punisher-
I only had so many arrows.
Yeah.
And then she realizes, oh, it's because Punisher was here.
I love
and
that.
And I think maybe like across the carnage, she might glimpse him and they'll like lock eyes
no,
for
and
a
that's
second.
Hotter.
And then but like she won't acknowledge him and he doesn't acknowledge her.
No.
Ooh, something about that is really hot.
Yeah, it
oh,
is.
Totally.
Like she sees like a little glimmer of a sniper scope across the way
yeah.
on another rooftop. And like even though yeah. she doesn't see him, she knows it's John Bernthal. Yeah.
Not Frank Castle.
No. Well, you-
and then she gets like, she comes home to her. She comes. No, no. She gets home to her apartment. And then there's like a corpse at her doorstep. And she's like, Villanelle. And it's like a gift for
that.
Her. Like a cat leaves a dead bird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I have one, but I think it's just my own personal preferences of things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
But which not like Punisher wasn't. But I think, and again, this character, we see him a lot. We don't know him that well,
uh-huh.
but I've projected onto him. But what about her and Bucky?
Okay.
Post Winter Soldier.
Okay. So first of all, this is very much exactly what you like. Your it's like this is like you being like, what if like Huntress was named Ryan Mogi?
Yeah, it's a self insert for sure. 100%.
Oh my god!
This is like Bucky Barnes slash Reader.
But like Reader, if your whole family was murdered and you're really good at fighting,
oh,
right?
Yeah, perfect.
Right. I do really like it. I think it could be really hot. But it is very much just Ryan.
No, good work, Ryan. Good work. That's good work, Ryan.
All right.
You deserve a good self-insert.
It is good. I do like it. I would read it.
So I just kind of took the assignment broadly to, like, the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of, after watching that trailer, was thinking about, like, characters that, you know, kind of, like, fight for, like, revolutionary causes and stuff like that. And it's also, I'm reading the new Queen Amidala book, Queen's Peril. Which takes place before Phantom Menace and, you know, involves Queen Amidala and all of her handmaidens, just like Queen Shadow did. And I've talked about Sabe and Padme on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
But I was reading this book yesterday and I was like, oh, man, you know who Amidala, who Padme would really like is Leia. And then I got really sad.
Aww, Patrick.
Because they're never going to meet each other.
Oh my god,
they're never going to meet each other.
Like, this is horrible for like two reasons.
Oh, and I'm not shipping them in a romantic way. I'm saying that this
that is really
okay.
Zen.
Yeah, because it's inappropriate.
That's right.
Yeah, you know how Revenge of the Sith.
Patrick
ends.
Doesn't watch the last 5 minutes of any.
I
Star
only
Wars
have
movie.
So much patience.
I mean, for the prequels, I get it.
But like, I also read Claudia Gray's Leia novel, which is like kind of digs more into like young Leia being like a revolutionary and like being like diplomatic and like actually trying to change things from like within the system and then realizing that like the system is fucked and like having to rebel against it. And like as I'm digging into more expanded universe Amidala stuff, that like it seems like such a clear line to me that Leia is Padme and Anakin's kid. Like she's just got I just for a relationship that obviously doesn't exist at all in any of the canon materials because Padme dies giving birth to Leia. Like they're just so similar and I just wish that they could spend time together. And it made me just so sad reading yesterday that like she'll never get to see Leia.
That's so sad. Can I pitch something that may like make this happen for you?
Sure.
So what if we see a forest ghost of Amidala who gets to visit Leia on Dagobah at some point?
Well, I was thinking about that, but do we think Amidala would make it to Forest Ghost Town?
Maybe she could, like,
I don't know.
Because I feel like Leia has probably got to hang out with Anakin, right? Like, everybody does now.
Right.
And they're like, oh, you're not
well,
so
okay,
bad.
But also, if, look, readings of Rise of Skywalker notwithstanding, something allows Kylo Ren to see Han Solo one more time, right?
Oh.
And Han Solo is never in tune with the Force.
Right.
So if, like, Leia projects that image to him or something, like, I think Amidala's Force-sensitive buddies could, like, summon her spirit somehow.
Right. I could see, like, Yoda and Ben sort of getting together to bring her to Leia.
To a living
Leia. To a living Leia?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You want her to see the ghost while she's alive.
What would, okay, in your perfect world,
Return
what
of the
point
Jedi
of Leia's
pre,
life would her mom visit
probably
her?
Even before Ben Solo is born.
Oh, but that's like that's right when she needs her mom. Don't you think she wants help with her evil son?
I know she needs help with her evil son, but
yeah,
like,
but she really needs help with her evil son.
What if it's when he's born?
Yeah, there we go. That's good.
She could like be around to meet her grandson and then help out in those first few days, which is important.
I mean, even toddler.
Yeah, toddlers are tough.
When he starts murdering his friends.
Like, I think like before he has like a personality.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I mean, he never gets much of one.
He's like barely, like he's like learning how to like say like apple.
Yeah, well, grandma wants to be there for that.
I kind of would want to read a novel of Leia as a young mother just to like understand because the distance between, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, but the distance between Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens is so crazy for these characters.
Well, and especially, but like that they also don't have any of those like support, you know, like
they don't need
her parents there. Obviously aren't in the picture. Her adopted parents aren't in the picture anymore. Like, what those lives look like. Mm-mm.
Oh, geez. Do you think that, like, in a novel they would introduce Han's parents?
I thought he was an orphan.
Yeah, but orphans had parents.
I mean, I guess canonically he's an orphan.
Uh-huh.
Had at one point.
Well, that's why his name, he's alone.
Well, Anakin, you know, only had one parent.
And a god.
What?
Not the baby Jesus. He only had one parent. And if you are going to come at me and disrespect our Lord Jesus Christ.
Kelly.
Fuck.
Can you imagine if I all of a sudden became extremely Christian and decided to show
fine.
This on our show?
I mean, you know, do whatever you got to do, but warn us first.
I'd be upset about
no,
this.
I mean, surprise, extreme Christianity.
Yeah, you got to let us know ahead of time.
On me?
It would
I mean,
change
I told you guys,
the dynamic
hey guys.
Of this show.
Oh, two what? Relationships.
Hey, guys.
Two relationships.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.